This struggle will define in what world our children and grandchildren will live, and then their children and grandchildren. In this war, we stand, we fight, and we will win because we are united, Ukraine, America, and the entire free world.
I'm sure that many of you know this voice. You may recognize it as belonging to Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine. Exactly 1 year into the war today, Zelensky's voice has become a symbol of hope, a symbol for Ukraine's unrelenting resistance to Putin's invasion. In a way, Zelensky's voice has become the soundtrack to an overhaul of the international status quo. Around the globe, horrific images of the war in Ukraine have led to new allegiances as well as hostilities. New enemies, but also new friendships. In today's special episode of The Atlantic Hour, we want to zoom in on precisely these new friendships. Friendships that are born out of uncertainty, a new sense of responsibility, and the experience of having to part with your loved ones. Friendships that are forged between Ukrainians who fear for their families and country, but also friendships that emerged in the wake of this war, between people who might otherwise never have met. And we want to highlight the voices of those who so often remain unheard. So today's episode is really not supposed to be a political analysis of the conflict. We want to instead give voice to those who had to leave their homes to find security in foreign places. Most of the over 8 million Ukrainian refugees in Europe are women and children, not to speak of the over 6 million internally displaced in Ukraine. Over the summer, we met with Lucy, who works as a program manager at the America House Kiev. Shortly after a conversation in Leipzig, Lucy returned to Kiev. 2 weeks ago, we met again over Zoom and asked her to contextualize this experience of leaving your home in Ukraine.
There are many other challenges for women who left. You know, on one hand, they are now the primary caregivers. For young women, they've had to become parents to their parents because they're kind of the elderly generation might not know English as well or any other languages, and they really have to leave their youth behind and grow up very quickly. They have to build new lives in completely new surroundings without understanding the language, perhaps. And many people, they did not exactly choose where they ended up. It happens in a long chain of very strange events that you find yourself somewhere, someplace, somehow, either with friends or with complete strangers, and you have to start building a new life. And any type of long-term migration is tricky, but it is, you know, especially difficult in these circumstances. And Ukrainian women in general are very highly educated. And they find themselves, you know, underpaid, overqualified. And it's not clear for how long this entire situation is. So you're expected to build a new life, but there are no guarantees. Will you be asked to leave? And, you know, there are millions of us. And so the experiences are very vast.
In today's episode, we want to take some time to explore some of these experiences, and specifically their capacity to turn strangers into friends, much in the same way that we have become friends with our colleagues at the America House in Kiev.
My name is Erica, and I am the deputy director at the German-American Institute in Saxony. So when the war started on February 24th, we felt the same, me and my family, as a lot of people living in Germany did, that it was completely surprising and shocking and distressing. But I think the moment for me that was the most important was when I saw the pictures that went around the world of the birthing clinic in Mariupol that was bombed. And we saw the pictures of, you know, pregnant women or newborn children in bunkers and being carried across rubble. And it really changed something for me because I was actually at home at the time with my own young son, who was only 4 months old. And I saw these pictures and it was extremely emotional. I felt like we had to do something, that it was some sort of a moral obligation almost. I think a lot of people in Germany felt that way. And so we decided that as soon as refugees started entering the area, that we really needed to help and welcome somebody and try and make their life a little bit easier.
Watching the conflict unfold, Eric and her family felt like they had to do something. And today the war has become personal for them.
So when the first wave of refugees started coming to Leipzig, there were a lot of websites that tried to help refugees find adequate housing in the city of Leipzig, and housing started filling up really fast. We saw that in Berlin, the capacity was reached quite quickly. So a lot of people started coming through to Leipzig as being a welcoming place. We had extra space in our house that we live in, our apartment building, and put that online as soon as we could. And that's how I got in touch with young woman Sophia, who was doing everything to help her family from Odessa escape the war. So her and I were in close contact, and she told me about her family, a young woman named Karina, and her mother, Marina, and her child, Alisa, who ended up coming to Leipzig then and in March. And then we slowly got to know each other over the next few weeks. We cooked together quite often, which we still do now a year later. We've integrated our families. They help watch my children, and I help with theirs. And it's been a really wonderful experience, the sort of human side of war that becomes personal and familial as well.
Her close relationship to Karina and her family gave Erica an idea of how the war had changed the outlook of those who had to flee.
Looking back after spending 1 year living closely with Karina and her family, I can see that our conversations have shifted quite dramatically. We started out talking about things like when we go back to Odessa soon, in the next weeks, maybe in a few months. And now our conversations are a lot more focused on learning German and finding the correct healthcare providers and creating a life here in Leipzig, taking, you know, their young daughter to Kita and getting her here settled, so feeling that she has a new home, one that she can identify with as well. These conversations have shifted a lot from where we started a year ago. We're talking about future plans again, but they're definitely drastically different than the ideas that they came to Germany with.
To really understand this experience, we met with Karina and some of her friends earlier this month.
The people that we welcomed to workshop space today are Karina, who lives in the same house as I do now, her husband Dima, who traveled recently from Ukraine to Germany, Sophia, who organized the entire travels of everybody here in the room today, Victoria and Elena, who are also from Odessa, and so who Sophia helped to get to Leipzig and find safety.
We wanted to hear about what it felt like to flee your country, having to leave part of your family and yourself behind and begin a new life in places like Germany. Karina was so kind to begin explaining this really confusing and exhausting experience.
Okay, we have 1 week trip from Ukraine to Germany. When we understand that we must go, we sit in car and going to abroad from Ukraine and Moldova. And it was a very long line of cars. And we understand that my husband must go away before the special military time. And we go 5 kilometers for our legs, with bags, with dog, with child. And it was so many people on Moldovan abroad. And we sit in a bus and go to Kishinev. And people, volunteers who was on abroad, they say, it's okay, don't worry. You go to Bahnhof Kishinev, and there will be volunteers. And we come and no more, no volunteers. We don't understand what we must to do. And we're going to Bahnhof and sit and wait some train. And this train going only to Romania. And this train going only for the some village in Romania. And I haven't internet in mobile, but I try to find it. And I call Sophia and say, help, do something, because I don't understand what I must do. And she find some men from Chisinau, and he comes. We go to his apartment. We was, I think, 2 days for have like a relax, some rest. And after that, we buy a ticket to Romania. We find people from Hungary, and they meeting us on Bahnhof. And we was in this house, I think, 12 hours. And after that, Sofia's friends coming for a car, and we go 8 hours on a car to Leipzig, and
they were really exhausted at that moment. So
this is Sofia. She's a young Ukrainian woman living in Leipzig. As we heard, it was Sofia who coordinated everyone's travels from Ukraine to Germany. And she did all of this using mostly only her cell phone.
She mentioned my name 3 times. Thank you very much for that. Yeah, actually, I tried to manage all these things. And I'm happy that I know a lot of people all over Europe. So I had some help from Romania, from my best friend. She's living in Leipzig here in our home. But people from Moldova or people in Hungary, I have never seen them, and that was also a hard and difficult point for me to organize that, because I was responsible for what is happening with them. So I had only the phone and some people all over Europe, and I'm not really knowing what's happening to them. So the people I have never seen them, and was not sure, are they good people or can they hurt them? They are 2 women with a dog and a child. So we were very lucky, and I'm very thankful for these people, but it was not easy. It was actually not easy, and it's really nice. There were so many people that were ready to do this, but it could also turn to another way and not so good. There were a lot of stories where people were kidnapped or something like that. So
yes, because on abroad, volunteers give to us some brochures about kidnapping. And they say, be safe, because now many women with kids are lost because they are without men and husbands, and some bad people use this situation for kidnap.
You're just trying to play with the fortune and hoping that everything will went well. But after they were so exhausted, they called me and said, okay, now we arrived in Hungary, but we can't anymore. We are like really tired. We were thinking, what could we do, and how can we maybe also gather the money, because the prices for the fuel at that time in Europe were really high. And we had cars, but we had not so much money even from Germany. So we tried to solve this problem. And my ex-boyfriend's friend said, okay, no, we are going there, and we have to pick them up. So the other problem was also there were 3 other families I had to help at the same time. And we tried to solve this logistic problem with the cars and so on. So sometimes there were 5 people. You don't want to separate them, but you don't have any buses. So you have to correspond with different people, or try to find some buses or something like that. So
Sofia was so kind to also act as an interpreter for us. She meticulously translated what the group said in Ukrainian and Russian so that we could get a better idea of how these experiences really felt like.
So Olena and Victoria, they came together and made the way together. So Olena wants to explain the situation. She left Ukraine 2 weeks after the war started, and the reason for that was her mother, because her mother behaved very uncalm, and she was really exhausted and very nervous, and she even started to cry all the time, so she couldn't deal with that, and she was living just because the mother wanted that, yeah. So for her calm, and she also made sure that she will be okay. So she told, I will be okay only when you're abroad. So that's why she was leaving Ukraine. Yes, the mother is actually still in Ukraine, and it was also a question or an issue that wasn't discussed because the father can't leave Ukraine because he's a man, and the mother doesn't want to leave her husband, and they also have their grandmother, and she is handicapped and disabled to cross the borders. It would be very difficult to do that, so they left there.
Я ще й дуже прив'язана до родини, завжди була, і для мене було це найважче.
It was one of the most difficult topics for her, because she is very, very close to her family. They have a lot of love and a good relationship there. So she can't believe it's 1 year since they left Ukraine, almost 1 year. And yeah, they do every day video calls and try to communicate, and she's still very close to them, but it's very hard to have this long separation between them and the long distance.
After Olena, Victoria told us about the utter confusion that erupted once the war began.
She didn't believe till the end that it could be true. So all over the news you could guess already before the 24th of February that there could be war, but she, as a lot of other Ukrainians, didn't believe it till the end, really. So she had this feeling, but she still hoped, okay, that won't happen. And the day before the 24th, before the war started, the day before, she packed all of her documentaries, passport and other important stuff, and she packed it and hoped she won't use it, so that's it, unnecessary, but she did it. Then she went sleeping, and after that she was waken up by the sounds of explosions, and yeah, she was there in her bed, and she was staying there and hoping that it's just a dream. She didn't want to realize that was the reality. She got a phone call from mother of Alena, and she offered her to leave, but she didn't want to because she still hoped, okay, that would take an end very soon. At the same time, there was her boyfriend, and he also tried to convince her to leave the country, and the young man gave her one more point for this decision, so. The situation was completely unclear. She felt very unsafe about the thought of leaving Ukraine because she didn't know where she's going to, what will be there. So on the one hand, it was this feeling of, okay, we're hoping it will end very soon. And on the other hand, this completely unknownness, so. Yeah, darkness.
Ми уїхали. То як ми уїжджали, було теж дуже стресово.
The situation about the leaving, this process was also very stressful. She saw something like this only in movies or in films. So first they want to take a train, and they saw a lot of people gathering there, and there were children, people with animals, and they waited 5 hours for a train that they didn't know would it come or would it not come. There was no security about the arrival of this train, and it was an open space, so there were still dangers of attack from the sky with the rocket.
І в кінцевому ітогі нам не вдалося їхати поїздом, так як
The situation was also very chaotic because all of the people tried to run, and running in all directions without knowing where they're running to. And people from the trains throw the bags just in the people because there was very difficult to take these bigger bags with them. So they rather would better take other people, not the big bags. And she also saw how little children were just given away to other people and taken with the hands to get about the window to the train. So they gave their own children to the train. All the people there were also crying and screaming. Олена is explaining the situation from her perspective, and she said there were so many people moving at the same time. It was like a flow of thousands of people, so you couldn't get easily from there out. You had to get into the flow with them, so you can't just go and leave. So they were going on the tracks for the train and not on the platform where you can move with all the flow. They just decided to leave, so they go on to these lines or tracks.
Ми не уїдемо, і це небезпечно, тому що топтали, кидались сумками.
It was really unsafe to do that and very stressful, and the tense in the air and the atmosphere was very high, so the pressure emotionally. Yeah, and the problem was also about these hours where you are not allowed to be outside, this military hours curfew. So they had to be fast and be on time and not to be there outside at these hours.
По коліях, трамвайному, ну, путі, по коліях, щоб вийти. Зрештою, ми виїхали з країни з родичами наступного дня.
The next day they moved with their relatives to Moldova.
Там ми прожили
and spent there 2 weeks. And after that, the next step was Poland. At this time, they realized they won't return to Ukraine anymore. And it didn't matter to which country they should go, because they don't speak any languages, and everything was the same for them. And they didn't have any relatives in other countries, so the whole world was open for them.
Варіантів було дуже багато, куди себе подіти, адже у мене дуже багато знайомих у різних країнах.
There were a lot of different possibilities where they could go to, so they didn't have any real relatives in other countries, but a lot of people they knew. But they were still very unsure whether they should go there where these people are, if it's necessary or is it a good idea. Some people they knew proposed to go to Germany, and they were okay with this proposal, but still didn't know what they have to expect. So after one day they found so many people, so many proposals with help, and they came into a very nice family, so it was very unexpected and very pleasant.
Karina's husband Dima was the only man that we talked to. He told us about the heart-wrenching feeling of having to stay back while his entire family is forced to flee Ukraine.
Yes, I'm stayed in Ukraine for 9.5 months when the war starting. I can't leave Ukraine because the men's from 18 to 60 years old, they can't leave Ukraine when it's a military situation in the country. So in the morning, 24th of February, when we wake up, I'm really don't believe in this situation. I'm see that's real, that's going on right now, but I can't believe. I'm think that maybe few days, maybe weeks, and this will be over. But no. So first we visit banks to take a cash, some shops to buy some foods, because we don't know how it will be situation with the shop in future. Some medicine and other things. First days, and the first, the 24th of February, we packed our emergency, our travel documents in the small bag. and live near the door. In the case we need to leave home emergency right now to take it back and leave it. In a few days after, we starting to prepare a basement to bring some foods, water, in case of air alarm. My wife was really scared in this situation, but she don't want to leave me alone. I'm asking her for the second day of war to leave the Ukraine, because we have a small daughter. She was just 2 years old when the war started. And after 10 days, in the 4th of March, she said, yes, okay, I will leave Ukraine. So I get a car, packed clothes. She, her mother, our daughter, our dog, and my younger sister sit in the car, and we move to the Moldova border. From the 10 or 15 kilometers from the border, we saw that a lot of cars, a lot of people, who walks near the road. It's a total disaster. We stayed there for a few hours and after decided to leave the car, and they walk with bags, with a small child, with a dog from the road to the border from Moldova. And I turn the car and go back to Odessa. Actually, I don't know what I need to do and what I will to do, because in one day I lose everything. My family was leave Ukraine, I lose my job. In Ukraine and all to this moment stayed my mom. She don't want to leave Ukraine to the April, but I'm asking her too, what you will do here? So first, dangerous. You lose your job too. So you can go to the Germany or another country and you're starting to work, and you will be unsafe. It's the most important. And after 1 month, she said, yes, okay, I will leave Ukraine too. And I'm staying alone in Ukraine. The most terrible in this situation is that the war becomes normal. People starting not afraid air alarms too much or something else. For example, oh, you saw it's a rocket. Yes, it's a rocket. Oh, okay, go to the shop. And in the summer, when we understand so that's where we will belong, we're starting to think how to leave Ukraine for me, because our government needs all men who can be a soldier in future, but I don't have a military experience. I don't was an ex military, so I can't help military forces right now. I need training, and I have some health problems. So I visit organizations that recruited people to military forces to find a way. I need to go to the military forces or no. After 5 months visits hospitals, these organizations, they said, yes, that you have your health problems. I have just a problem with my leg. I don't know how to explain it all exactly in English, but just some health problems. They give me some documents that I can leave Ukraine in military time. But it's very, very hard to get this document, because a lot of people thinking that you want to leave Ukraine because you're afraid, you don't want to defend Ukraine. So a difficult process, and difficult to explain some people in Ukraine that you just want to see your wife, your young daughter, and starting to helping them, because it's your family and this first you need to do. Most difficult when you visit in Ukraine these military organizations to explain them, I'm don't afraid if you need me, okay, but I don't have experience. What I will to do? I want to help. Yes, I want to defend my country, but not every man must be a soldier. But military people, they don't understand it. They think if I do this, so everyone need to defend the country. And this, I want to say, little problem, but this very big problem in Ukraine, because a lot of women leave their husbands, men don't see their wives, children, and too many families will be broken. It's terrible.
We wanted to know how their plans for the future changed since coming to Germany. Karina was so kind to begin again, but this time chose her mother tongue to talk about this rather abstract question.
Nowadays, her imagination about the future has changed completely. Before the 24th of February, they had plans or visions or dreams. It's hard to plan or to dream now. You can't be sure at 100% that there is a future and how the future will be. About the security, for sure, it's very secure for them here and more secure than in Ukraine, and it's better and more safe to stay here till the end of the war or maybe longer. We lived at a city where you have about 30 kilometers of beach, and the problem is that all the beaches, all the sea ground is mined, and she can't go with her kid to this country where all of the time she has to worry whether they could be undermined or not. So it could last up to 5 years to take away all the mines and make the city or the country secure again. Розмінірування, і поки у нас рядом такий сумасшедший
сусід. We now turn to Olena again. She also had to drastically readjust, particularly her professional expectations.
Звісно, я люблю свою країну і люблю.
Of course, she loves her country. She loves Ukraine, her place of birth, Odessa, and she had everything there. A flat, somewhere she could live, a house, her profession, her work, her education, and her friends. All this left in the past because of the war. When she was there, she was a real estate manager, and she can't do this anymore here in Germany because she needs a very good level of language and also different skills and knowledge about the laws in Germany, about real estate and so on. She's ready to go in any spheres that are open for her here, and it's very hard to plan at this moment how it will be, because at first she has to learn the language and build her whole future step by step.
Все з початку, з чистого аркушу.
Victoria also talked about having to start at the beginning again. But as she says, every new start can also be the beginning of a new story or a new friendship.
Як сказала Олена, да, ми як будто би знову.
Like Olena already said, they feel like newborns. They have to learn the mentality of Germans, new people, new language. It's like a small child that has to do all the way from the beginning and to start over. So at last year, the life showed that it knows the better way for them. It's like a very philosophical quote. So that what she said, you can't plan, the life plans for you. And the best example for that is the war. She does little plans for her psychological stability and insurance that there is a tomorrow. She does what she can control.
І хотілося б внести немного позитиву в наш розговор.
And she wants also to bring some positive vibes in these conversations, because there is the other side. There is about every situation a possibility to find something positive and a good side about that. And there were beautiful and nice people on her way, and she also learned new boundaries of herself and her situation, and she found more than she lost in her situation. So she thanks to all who supported her on this way.
At last, we also wanted to know how Sophia's life has taken on a new meaning since the war began. Sophia and I actually share some common friends, and I had known her before we met at our office. But I absolutely did not expect to see her when my coworker Erica invited her Ukrainian friends over. I last saw her some time before the pandemic trapped all of us indoors. And I think back then we probably chatted about this and that and about nothing really of importance. But to this day, I distinctly remember that even back then, whenever she would talk about her home in Odessa, her voice would be filled with this incredible passion. And I think you really hear this passion today.
Yes, actually, yes. It's an interesting question. One can talk very long about it because it's very psychologically very hard. The beginning for me was very hard to be here and not to be there. Someone would wonder about this opinion, but for me it was like that. So I couldn't do anything, and all the problems we had here turned into something very unimportant. And that's the problem that brought a lot of bigger problems in my life. So there were things like the tax office or other things that I didn't deal with because I had another much more bigger problems, and that was my country, my home, the people that are important for me. So I caused a lot of problems in my life, in my German life, but it wasn't important at that time. So now, after almost 1 year of war, I have to solve a lot of things because I'm still living there, and all of German institutions just want me to be a normal citizen and not someone who is worried about the war all the time. So at the beginning the people were understanding this, but now they like forgot that I'm Ukrainian and don't see me as that, and they want to be me and here and like act like normal. So for the future, it changed a lot. My plans were to go to Ukraine to rent there a small flat, to live there and to be the most time there with my friends and my family. There is also a good side about this war, because this city and this country became, after 14 years for me, first time home. I had only my mother here in the last years, and now I have everyone here, my family and my friends, and it feels home right now. Even if there is very sad background about this, that's why it's very hard to plan or even to decide what I wanted to do, because in the first days of the war, I was about going there and fight with the military. It would be possible if I would be a Ukrainian citizen, but I don't have the citizenship anymore. I have the German one, so I have to have combat experience. So I wrote a message, a long email to the Foreign Ministry of Ukraine in Berlin and asked, please take me and let me go to the war and do something. But they answered, it's not possible. You have to have experience and background in the military. So there were two possibilities for me to go to Ukraine, and this possibility is still there. There are people that are needing my help, but I decided to stay here and try to wait. Where would be my help more? Just being there and doing something physically for my country, or maybe earn here money and send the money there, or what can I do at the next step? So I decided to be here and help the people that are coming here and trying to earn money and give some part of them there and spend it. So nowadays we are trying to transfer my old car to Ukraine. I want to spend it for the military so they can take it and go on the roads, on the bad roads. So I hope it will help. So there are different small projects, and I'm not concerned about that. I'm not sure what will come. And I think it is open. We will do the best. I will do the best from my side, as much as I can help. And yeah, the other things for my life, it became very small and unimportant. But I still try to focus on that. Of course, I try not to forget that. But it's like the other side of this life after the 24th of February.
Only time will tell how and when this war will finally end. In the meantime, Ukrainians will have to remain resilient in the face of Putin's war of aggression. But they are not alone. What we can do at the moment is come together in international solidarity to help each other out and persevere as a community of democratic and sovereign nations. So make sure to check your hometown's official website to find ways of helping refugees in your area. Chances are there are already projects in place that could really use your support. We would like to thank and wish all the best to our new friends Lucy, Sophia, Karina, Dima, Olena, and Victoria. The Atlantic Hour is a production of the German-American Institute Saxony with music by me, Christoph Nostitz. Thank you for listening, and until next time.